You are listening to Striving to Thriving, your resource for information and encouragement for reclaiming your life from chronic pain. I'm your host and certified health and wellness coach, David Hall. In these podcasts, I discuss the biological, psychological, and social aspects of living with chronic pain and promise to do so with kindness, hope, and encouragement. If you live with chronic pain or you know someone who does, you've come to the right place, and I hope you listen and subscribe. This podcast is for you, so your input is greatly appreciated and needed in order for me to make our time together have the greatest value for you. If you have ideas or topics you feel are important to the chronic pain community, please shoot me an email to david@strivingtothriving.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll try to incorporate your ideas where appropriate. All listeners assume responsibility for their own medical care, treatment, and oversight. All the content provided in this podcast, including treatments, dosages, profiles, advice, are for informational purposes and does not constitute the providing of medical advice, nor is it intended to be a substitute for independent professional medical judgment, advice, diagnosis, or treatment. I dedicate this podcast to the fond memory of Dr. Lisa Jo Stearns. She was my pain specialist, mentor, and friend. Without her inspiration, this podcast would not be possible. Greetings and good day. Do you walk slower than you used to? Are some of your movements guarded when doing certain activities? Is attention in life focused through the lens of guarded movement, intending to avoid pain? Has fear of further injury caused you to stop doing things you used to do or want to do? If the answer is yes to any of these questions, this podcast is for you. Today's podcast is the last in my series on movement, and I'll discuss a topic that can influence how we move and whether we move. The subject of today's podcast is fear avoidance beliefs and how they can determine our movements or whether we move at all. Fear avoidance beliefs can also have a powerful influence on our experience of pain. Several things influence our perception of pain other than nociception, which we've defined as your body's way of detecting mechanical, thermal, or chemical danger to your body. Remember from episode 2 that once peripheral sensitization transitions into central sensitization, or pain transitions from acute to chronic, same thing, the pain experience lives or plays back completely in the brain and in the spinal column, not necessarily where you experience, whether it's a foot, arm, knee, or whatever. Once chronic pain establishes itself, it messes with our prefrontal cortex, which plays a big role in how our brain interprets experiences, which in turn affects our natural warning system. The prefrontal cortex is where we live, think, process memories, and experience life. The problem comes when our warning system is so overly sensitive that it sounds the alarm when nothing is wrong, and such is the case with fear avoidance beliefs in daily movement. In podcast 2, I covered how pain has value and can serve us by protecting us from noxious or dangerous things in our environment, and therefore it has value. But chronic pain serves no protective purpose at all, and therefore has no value. Why is this distinction important? Well, it brings me back to today's topic, which is fear avoidance beliefs relative to movement. We commonly associate fear avoidance beliefs with the experience of pain, especially when protective acute pain transitions into chronic pain. The anticipated or expected threat of intense pain often results in a constant vigilance and monitoring of potentially pain-producing sensations, which can cause even low-intensity situations of pain to become unbearable for a person. Just anticipation of increased pain or re-injury can further stimulate those avoidance behaviors. A vicious cycle may develop in which fears of increased pain or re-injury contribute to the avoidance of certain movements and many activities. This leads to an inactivity and ultimately to greater disability. Anyone who assesses and treats pain-related disability should be prepared to assess and treat pain-related fear avoidance beliefs, as they can lead to negative automatic thoughts and result in cognitive distortions of all kinds, all of which can make you feel stuck and increase or modulate your pain. Fear is a natural emotional reaction to a specific, identifiable, and immediate threat, such as a threat of injury. Fear, like pain, can serve you well and keep you safe from imminent danger, as it can trigger a natural and sometimes healthy response, such as the fight or flight response, that has kept man alive for thousands of years. However, fear may also lead to avoidance of certain activities that chronic pain people associate with their pain. The opposite ends of the spectrum addressing fear are confrontation and avoidance. Continued confrontation of any fear of movement will ultimately lead to a reduction in pain, whereas avoidance, also known as guarding, is an adaptive behavior developed often in the acute phase, but can lead to anxiety, disability, absenteeism, and higher healthcare expenses if allowed to exist in the chronic phase for any length of time. The fear avoidance model describes how individuals develop chronic musculoskeletal pain because of avoidant behaviors based on fear. This model states that negative apprisals about pain and its consequences, including catastrophic thoughts, may cause feelings of pain-related fear, avoidance of daily activities, and bodily hypervigilance. Because of this misinterpretation, an individual repeatedly avoids the perceived pain-inducing activity and is likely to overestimate any future pain from such activity. The avoidance response can lead to physical deconditioning, depression, disability from work, and perceived inability to take part in normal recreation or family activities, not to mention making the pain experience even worse. Studies provide evidence that for those living in chronic pain, fear avoidance beliefs correlate to increased pain, physical disability, and long-term sick leave. While the model, some researchers say, is too simplistic to account for many situations, we still use it in the medical community to diagnose and understand how we react to fear, either negatively or positively. Fear avoidance belief starts a cycle that perpetuates itself through catastrophic thinking, which is an exaggerated negative mental state brought to bear during actual or anticipated pain experiences. Negative appraisals about pain may lead to catastrophic thinking, which then contribute to feelings of pain-related fear. Catastrophic thinking, also called catastrophizing, consists of three components or elements recognized in several studies. These are rumination, or rehashing things over and over in our mind, magnification, or making something greater than it really is, and helplessness, meaning, well, there's nothing I can do about it. None of these three are good for anyone with or without chronic pain. Four cognitive distortions form the foundation for catastrophic thinking. In 1976, Aaron Beck, a psychologist, proposed the concept and the theories behind cognitive distortions, of which we recognize that there are 15. In 1982, David Burns popularized it with common names and examples for what we recognize as these 15 distortions. Four of the 15 are overgeneralizations. Well, if one treatment didn't work, why would this one work? The next one is mental filtering, which is focusing on the negative and ignoring the positive. The third, jumping to conclusions. My doctor's asking me more questions than usual. He must think I'm lying. And fourth, emotional reasoning, operating on emotional assumptions rather than facts. These are just some of the things that we can do to make our chronic pain as complicated and as complex as it is. Fear avoidance is a sensitive subject challenging both those of us working in pain management and patients who suffer from chronic pain. If you work in chronic pain management, expect pushback from patients with chronic pain when you offer information about the psychological aspects of chronic pain, especially when you explain that chronic pain is in the brain and not necessarily where they experience it. This reluctance or objection occur because of the continued stigma in the public that pain is only a physical experience, despite decades of research providing evidence to the contrary. Furthermore, individuals who suffer from chronic pain are often concerned about being judged and the potential risk that comes with opening themselves up to these psychological concepts. Their resistance, though, is understandable, especially if a provider judged them as being an addict or someone just seeking drugs for reasons other than pain reduction. The cycle continues if there's any resistance or unwillingness from the part of the healthcare provider to invest time in providing necessary pain neuroscience education. If providers take on this challenge, they must do so showing compassion, sensitivity, and the willingness to take the time needed to educate their patients in pain neuroscience. So how does one conquer fear avoidance beliefs? The two most used forms of psychotherapy are CBT, or cognitive behavioral therapy, and ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy. And I'll delve into what those are in another podcast. But it's worthwhile knowing that there are also do-it-yourself options that may work just fine, and those include things like meditation, yoga, and guided visualization. Realize that movement, and yes, exercise, it's just good medicine. Some call movement your body's own pharmacy. There's a reason that your surgeon stops by a couple hours after surgery to get you up and walking around. Movement is not only a powerful painkiller, but among many other benefits, movement stimulates your immune system. Your body relies on your lymphatic system to remove waste like bacteria, virus, toxins, and abnormal cells that could lead to cancer. Every step you take helps it do its job. The lymphatic system does not have an organ like a heart to pump fluid around your body. Instead, it relies on movement and the contraction of your muscles to make it flow. Intentional movement, we call exercise, helps you manage your weight, improves blood flow and memory. It stimulates chemical changes in the brain that enhance learning, mood, and thinking. Exercise also helps reduce stress and improve sleep quality, both of which are critical to brain health, which is vital to those with chronic pain, as the brain is under continual attack because of the chronic pain. Movement provides no less than 18 easily identifiable benefits and as many psychological benefits, many of which I've mentioned in previous podcasts. If you have chronic pain and are afraid to engage in physical activity because you might cause additional injury, rest assured, the likelihood of further injury is actually quite small. As I've stated before, after about 12 weeks and definitely before 6 months, any tissues you've injured have healed all that they're going to heal. So check yourself and make sure you actually need those guarded movements that you might be making. You will miss out on the good things in life with the belief, if I'm not careful, I might hurt myself. Instead, confront those fears and start checking off those things in your bucket list that you've been toting around for years. Skydive or scuba dive, hop, skip, or jump. Or dance as though no one is watching. Start right now and confront those fear-avoiding beliefs that steal from you the joy that life offers. Refuse to let any fear-avoidance thoughts and behaviors get the best of you. Get out there and start moving. Start doing those things you used to love to do, and if you can no longer do them, then do something else new that challenges your brain and injects some fun and joy into your life. Reclaim your life from chronic pain and move from striving to thriving. I'm David Hall, and you've been listening to Striving to Thriving. And until next time, be kind to yourself and take care of each other.